Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. Have you ever tried to break a bad habit but felt like you're climbing Mount Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've been there too. But there is a breath of fresh air. Fume. What is it? It's not about giving up. It's about switching up. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and quite honestly, a whole lot more enjoyable and flavorful. Fume is an innovative award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume gives you flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. Understand? Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial. It's designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for distressing and anxiety when you break your bad habit. It's amazing how much I'm like fidgeting with mine. And the taste, it's awesome. The first time you try it, more flavorful than you've ever imagined. That's what I found to be really surprising. Feels super fresh. And like I said, it feels good in your hand. The weight is good on it. It's balanced. It's fun to fidget with if you're someone like that, like I am. And it looks really cool. Beautiful, real wood built into the actual Fume itself. Plus, Fume's just released a magnetic stand for your Fume, so there's no more losing it around the house. It's built, like I said, with fidgeting in mind, so you can spin your Fume around on it as well. Keep your year going strong and go with a good habit by going to tryfume.com/stories and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when you use my code STORIES to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Again, start the good habit at tryfume.com/stories to save 10% off the journey pack today.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Around college campuses, there's often a lot of very interesting housing, especially in some bigger campuses. Of course, you have your fraternities and all that. Those can be very interesting houses, structurally and historically in themselves. But oftentimes, you also have neighborhood houses. In many cases, mansions, large buildings that have seen technically better days. Now, it's a lot of student housing or smaller fraternities get them. And, you know, they kind of make do. They keep them up enough to live in. But with that being said, what do you think the former inhabitants of some of those structures have to say about their once respected, marvelous home now being used for frat parties and people passing out on the stairs, beer being spilled, woodwork being disrespected? I would be pissed off about the woodwork being disrespected if I was the ghost. Anyway, lots of things can happen. And in some of those cases, I don't think the spirits are all that happy. And they still are there. And they want their dissatisfaction to be known. That's kind of what happens in our next story. Take a listen. This story was from about 20 years ago when I was a student living in my first student house. You would not have thought there was anything special about the house. It was on one of the main roads close to the city center, with other businesses and houses nearby and other houses attached on either side. However, inside the house, it was quite run down, crooked, where the walls throughout didn't seem to quite match up to the floors properly. There were lots of dark areas where steps would lead down to different oddly placed rooms where you wouldn't expect them to be. There were five of us friends moving in together, and as you might sometimes expect at that age, we did used to smoke the wacky backy, so I guess some people would put our experiences down to that. However, I didn't experience anything else like this in any other places we stayed while I was a student. And if you've ever smoked wacky backy, you realize it doesn't cause hallucinations. Lots of strange things would happen on a regular basis, strange noises, things we had on the walls randomly blowing as though the wind was moving them, even though there'd be nowhere to have the wind be coming from. One day, I was sitting in the living room alone reading, and we had a little cutout card model of a bus on the TV that flew off a good 5 feet away and landed by my foot. Again, there was no draft or wind to cause it. My friend, sleeping in the downstairs front bedroom, was in bed one night and felt something pulling the edges of his blanket at the bottom end of the bed. Another time he heard the noise of someone's hand rapping on the bedside table next to him. Another time, when my brother and his girlfriend were staying over, I let them sleep in my room, and I slept on the living room sofa. In the morning, I woke up pretty hungover to some sort of air blowing on my face and a voice saying something like, "Ah." It woke me up, and I was quite groggy. I didn't think too much about it. I went to the bathroom, and I went back to lie down on the sofa again. This time, as I went to lay down on the end of the sofa, I could make out a figure. It seemed to be of a man. The way I always describe it is like the predator from the film when it goes invisible. You can just about make out a fuzzy outline. This was definitely the figure of a large man sitting down, though. There were certain areas in the house that had especially bad atmospheres. The hallway upstairs was the worst. It led to two bedrooms on one end and the bathroom on the other, and another bedroom on the other end of that. The halls were long and thin. You go down a few steps to the bathroom. Next to the bathroom was a tiny room where we guessed maybe a servant or someone might have stayed. It was all very creepy, so we all drew straws as to who would stay in it. Then we'd swap around every few months. You'd get a terrible feeling once you were upstairs in the hallway, and you never wanted to be there very long. Me and my other girlfriend, who sometimes have to go together up the stairs if we needed the bathroom at night. When this friend was staying in the big bedroom at the end of the hall, she'd often hear noises from the loft above her and sometimes wake up at around 5 or 6 a.m. to hear someone playing with a latch on her door. There were times when we would all become so scared that one night we slept in the biggest room together in our sleeping bags. I felt a bit silly the next day, of course. When we swapped rooms again, and this time my male friend was staying in the big room upstairs, one night when his girlfriend stayed over, she wanted to get an early night. Went to bed while we all stayed downstairs in the living room. After a while, my friend's phone rang. It was his girlfriend asking if he was upstairs and why he was talking or taking so long outside the room. He said he wasn't upstairs. We'd all been downstairs the whole time. This was a shock to her because she had been hearing noises coming from the hallway right outside the door. And the noises sounded like something being dragged along the hallway. Anyways, so after a year, we moved on to the next place. A few months later, I was hanging out with my brother one day, and we were having a chat about the house. My brother is a pretty no-nonsense type guy who wouldn't make things up and says it like it is. He said one time, when we stayed over at the house and slept on our sofa, he woke up to find five people standing over him and staring at him. He told me he didn't want to tell me when we were living there at the time, so as not to freak me out, which I think was for the best. I did try to look online about the history of the house, but to no avail, unfortunately. However, after I wrote this story, I was talking to my boyfriend, who I didn't know during that time, about it all. We decided to Google map the house for me to show him. To my disbelief, the photo of the house inside the front window and door is some kind of joke police tape all over it, saying "caution, enter if you dare," and some red paint and a big writing that says "keep out" on the door. There's also real for sale signs up there. This was before Halloween when we looked. None of the other houses nearby have anything like this on them. Seeing this makes me believe other people have had other similar experiences to us. The last people who lived there were driven to make some sort of point, maybe in a joking way, but still some sort of statement, because it is so coincidental. The fact is, it's up for sale right now. Also makes me wonder if the ghostly presence there is playing a part in it still being empty. I just hope the next tenants have a better understanding of what they're walking into.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.